I know, I really wanted to. We had a golf meet last night, so I couldn't. Was it exciting, though?
Yeah, there was a 6 o'clock. Some people liked them, some people didn't. They went back and forth. The one thing I had to resist was saying, you know what, you're right. Not everyone's going to be happy with this, so I'll tell you what, let a judge decide. I was just this close to say, okay, bring it on. Let a judge finally decide.
I agree. Well, that's what I said. I'm not afraid of people threatening.
I think so. Yeah, I haven't heard otherwise, so.
As long as it doesn't get physical. Did you listen to any of it?
Yeah.
Hi. Good, how are you?
Yeah, I didn't hear.
How are you, Ed? You're good?
We all survived.
Look at that Ed smile.
We survived.
Ground over here.
Now we can start the VIPs here. It's on bar time, that's why. Yeah, we should get
six.
Pins.
I survived the districting, okay?
We meet at 6 now.
Here, I thought I was half an hour early. That's why you guys are looking at me funny. Okay, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Change your calendar. I
heard what they were saying about you.
I bet it was bad.
I'm going to call the meeting to order. Mary, could you read the roll, please?
Jeff Gentz.
Here.
Ron Frederick.
Here.
Ed Kubicki.
Here.
Jeff Wambolt. Monica Yuha.
Here.
John Franco.
Here.
David Celebrie.
Here.
Carly Lois.
Here.
John Cargill.
Let the record show, Supervisor Wambolt is excused. Move on to citizens' comments. Any citizens wishing to speak? Any citizens wishing to speak? Any citizens wishing to speak? Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. Reports from the chairman. I'll just let everybody know that I did go with Andy Berg and Rebecca Dutter from, I'm not going to list off what division she's in. And I can't remember it. It's got five names. But we went down to Lake that we had that presentation on, Lake Behavioral, and I was very impressed. I mean, what a quality facility they have down there. Lake Behavioral, it's in... where is it at Rebecca? Waukegan. So we went down there and we took a tour and we had like a little meeting and I was very, very impressed. So I just want to relay that to the
So what did I miss? What's that all about?
Okay. That's about
you want me to do it?
Yeah, I do. Step up to the table.
I'll jump right in.
Okay.
So currently, when someone needs a mental health detention...
Oh, right, I got it.
Yeah,
got
we were sending them all up to...
Up to Winnebago.
You didn't even have to speak.
The bell rang.
The bell rang.
Where's the
bell? You're the bell. Why is it ringing in my head?
The bell rang.
Thank you. That was great. Good presentation. Ron, you're not going to get away that easy.
That was very succinct.
But let's
thanks for the cliff notes.
3 weeks. So let's bring it back. So that's, I just wanted to report that I did go to that and I was very impressed. We will be getting regular reports on how that's going. Right now we're waiting to have the contracts drawn up by our corporation council. That should be done in a couple weeks, sent out to Lake and then moved forward. So we will be getting an update on that, but that is very exciting news and the people involved have done a great job with that. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Is that something that we can think is going to maybe work?
Oh, I think it's going to work. Okay. Yeah. Everybody involved is very focused and positive about it. And I was, the people from Lake were very receptive to it. So it was really I was really impressed with the facility. I mean, everything's curved so people can't do things to themselves. And I mean, it was just unbelievable. It was really a quality facility, and the way they had all the wings laid out and they were all the same so that if people came back a second time, they wouldn't be confused by where it was. I mean, they thought of everything. I was really impressed. So I just wanted to relay that to the committee.
So now the state has to
has to work it out?
Well, the state and all the law enforcement, so we could take people there, and there's just, it's a legal thing.
Yeah.
And but they're moving pretty quick on it.
That's good.
I mean, it's going to save us some money, and it's going to be better for the actual people that are sent there. So I just wanted to report on that. Any reports from the committee? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. Approval of the minutes, August 12th, 2021.
So moved.
It's been moved by Supervisor Kubicki.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Juhas. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved unanimously. Sheriff's Department, Resolution 2021, Walmart Foundation Grant, Discharge Planner Program.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Angela Kvas. I am the Fiscal Services Manager for the Sheriff's Department. I am presenting the Walmart Foundation Grant. It's a $1,000 grant that's been applied by DSO Eddie Hartnell. It's used to purchase supplies for inmates upon their release, help them with things like bus tokens, maybe an extra change of clothes, or toiletries.
Have a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Kubicki, seconded by Supervisor Franco. Any questions or comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great presentation.
I spent a lot of time preparing.
I bet. You did a great job. You watching, Ron?
I'm watching.
Okay.
Taking notes.
All right, we'll do that. Human Services, resolution to modify the Division of Aging, Disability, and Behavioral Health Services 2021 budget for a grant, Crisis Law Enforcement Emergency Detention. Rebecca.
Yes. Thank you. So this is a grant that we received from the state of Wisconsin for $33,484. The focus of the grant is to do training with the Emergency Medical Services. So we do a lot of training on crisis to our law enforcement, but we never do anything with the emergency medical services, and they're oftentimes the first people who are on the scene. So this grant would allow us to bring down some speakers and to do training through all of the emergency services throughout Kenosha County. We see it as a very proactive measure to find out if people are struggling in the community so that we can get in front of them and be able to assist them before they actually do get into a crisis situation. So I'm asking for your approval.
Motion, please.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved by Supervisor Franco, seconded by Supervisor Juhas. Questions, discussion on the motion? How long is the grant for, a year?
No, it's through March of next year. So it's a very short grant. So we got to pack a lot in a very short period of time.
Are any people involved in the grant or just...
Mostly it'll be our staff time that is
so no new people
no
hired
new people
by
no.
the grant
no okay. We might be bringing down some speakers that we would have to pay for their travel costs, but there would be no new people, and we would be educating them on, you know, what our department does as far as crisis services, you know, substance abuse services, all of the things that fall under the Division of Aging, Disability, and Behavioral Health. There you go, it is a mouthful.
Yeah, say that five times.
And
yeah.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Is this in addition to anything with Narcan or administering seminars where you teach the administration of it?
It's different than Narcan. So Narcan is something that we do in the community to teach the community how to use Narcan in the event that they would come across someone who's had an opioid overdose.
Okay.
Those are usually like one-on-one trainings or small group trainings. All of EMS knows how to administer Narcan because they're the first responders usually administering the Narcan when they come across someone who's overdosed.
Okay.
But it'll just be talking about what those options are so we don't get to the overdose, which is what we're trying to prevent.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments? We have a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion is passed unanimously.
Thank you very much.
9, Public Works, resolution authorizing easement of highway right-of-way on CTHSQ and U to U-Line Corporation for maintenance.
I think it's 6:30 too.
Yeah, you probably didn't realize it was 6 o'clock. I didn't realize that.
Should we be?
I'll text them.
Yeah.
I'll call them.
Decline it? Here he is.
Oh, is there?
That's okay. No problem.
What if I heard that?
For 10 years, it's been 6:30.
No, I said the same exact thing 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Nice. Because I thought it was 6:30 too.
I'm sorry, I'm late, folks.
You're actually not late, you're right on time.
Whew. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Which one of these was first?
Q and U.
Q and U. Okay, this is a resolution.
I thought it was Q and A.
That's how that comes out.
As part of the project that's going on at the corner of Q and U, there's a big speculative distribution center being built by Genco on the northwest corner. And the county has bought a bunch of right-of-way there. That's the corner where Uline has that big, beautiful landscaping. So we, in order to do all of the intersection work that we promised to do, we bought the right-of-way. But Uline wants to have an easement so they can get from the road to their property so they can maintain their landscape. And that's what this is for. So we give them an easement so they can cross over and do their landscaping.
Okay. Supervisor Uhas?
Mr. Kupfer, this is very common with other companies, easements for maintenance. So, I move to approve.
I'll second that.
Been moved by Supervisor Uhas, seconded by Supervisor Kubicki. Any questions on the motion? So it just allows them the ability to go through the property to maintain their
stuff. Yeah. If anybody wants a map, I do have some here. I'll leave them with you.
I've had enough of bad.
Yeah. Is that a bad joke? Is that a bad joke or what?
No, there's not a good joke. There's a whole bunch of stuff attached to it.
Just and don't. I better not see A, B, or C in it.
No, he's got D on this one.
Yeah.
Oh. Sometimes the maps that they attach are so. This one's very simple to read. I need simple. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I do too. Especially when I'm looking at it upside down.
Yeah, there's no N on there. So you have to kind of figure out which way. Q runs east and west. And obviously 94 runs north and south.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions or comments from the board? Seeing none, there's a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
You got something else?
Public work, number 10, public works, resolution authorizing transfer of part one of parcel to the State of Wisconsin Department of Transportation for Highway 158 project. Jim.
Thank you. The WISDOT is starting to acquire land. They're going to fix 158. When 50's done, K is done, they'll do 158, all those east-west roads. And as part of this, they're going around and they're purchasing right-of-way. And if you guys have ever been on 158 heading west to east, and you go up over the bridge, this is just east of Highway H, go over the bridge, over the railroad tracks, and if you look down, there's a little chunk of land that's 0.067 acres, which we actually own. It's right next to the road. Got some more maps for that. You wouldn't even know it was there. It's probably a little bit bigger than this room.
Well, I've driven by it many times and I didn't know it was there.
We own it. I think we got a hold of it from some tax deed or something years ago. So WISDOT wants to buy it and they're going to give us, I think, a couple thousand dollars. We don't need it. It doesn't serve any purpose and they'll use it when they widen and fix 158. So this resolution is approval to sell that land to them.
Thank
you. Yeah, $2,800.
Okay. I still move.
It's been moved by Supervisor Frederick.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Celebrity. Any questions or comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? I'm getting swarmed under by these maps.
Yes.
Welcome to the club.
Okay, that motion passes unanimously, I think. All right, 11, Public Works, resolution authorizing Director of Parks to apply for a grant funding, for grant funding from the County Conservation AIDS Program with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, which will be used to stock fish in Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park. Excellent. Jim?
We come to this with you pretty much every year, and the DNR, they get their money on some of the gas tax, which we all pay, and they take some of that money and they give it back to various counties for projects like this. So the whole stocking program costs about $3,000, and we'll get half of it from the DNR, and the other half we have to put out for that. But in order to do for the DNR, they need approval of various committees. So we come to you asking your approval. We already have this in the budget. We take it out of our Parkland Development Fund, the $1,500. So we're asking your approval to work on applying for this grant or accepting this grant.
So moved.
It's been moved by Supervisor Juhas.
I'll second it.
Second by Supervisor Franco. Supervisor Kubicki.
Yeah, I'd like to see some of that money earmarked for some lake perch from Lake Michigan here, if we could. Possibly some lake trout would be nice too. Something on the eastern end. But I say that all in jest. I'm awful supporters of this.
I was prepared for joke. What kind of fish are they going to stock?
Well, I haven't got to speak yet.
I didn't ask you about the fescue yet, but that's coming in something else. So.
Any other?
I'm done. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Any other questions?
Apologize.
What kind of fish do they stock?
There's some bass, some walleye, and what's another? Panfish.
Sunfish.
Bluegills. Small fish like that.
Do they? Do people go there and fish?
Yes, absolutely.
Did they take everything out that we need to restock it, or?
No.
What kind of bass? Largemouth, smallmouth?
No, white bass.
He's like, I'm bad.
Smallmouth, white bass. All right.
Thank you, sir. We have a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
And I'm really, really sorry I was late.
You weren't late. You walked in right on time. Number 12. 2021 juvenile placement update.
Yeah, that'd be great. Sounds good.
All right, so this is our placement for juveniles, and so I put together this analysis, and I just want to show real quickly how this works. So this left side is our prorated budget for 2021. So we budget a total of $10 million. In the middle is where we're actually running. So this is through July. So this is our prorated budget through July. This is our actual, where we're running through July. And then this is our variance. And then we break out the variance between days of care. Is the variance because of days of care, or is it because of the rate? Because there's two components to it. So if we look at regular foster care, for example, we budgeted at 203 children a day at a rate of $24. And through July, that would have been $1,037,330. Through July, we are running actually 156 children a day in foster care at a rate of 2210. So our actual expenditure is $793,371. Yep.
If anybody has any questions, you will lose your train of thought, so you can make them during the presentation.
Yeah, please do.
Because that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, please do.
Because I will lose my train of thought.
Go
ahead. The column on the left that you're speaking of, mm-hmm. is that only our budget through July,
yep.
or our total budget for the year?
This is our budget through July.
See, that's why I'd ask that, because I thought it was for the year, and my heart started to beat rather quickly.
$7.8 million, and then our annual is the $10 million. So.
Okay.
Then, so as you can see, our placements, we budgeted 203 a day, but we're running at, I lost my number, 156, thank you. So we're 47 under, so we have 47 less children a day in foster care. That equates to a savings of almost $76,000. So we're under budget there. The rate as well, we were budgeted $24, we're running $22.10. We have a savings of $1.90 per child per day. That equates to $68,000 savings compared to budget. Then the other one I want to show you, because they all of the whole format runs the same for each level or each different category. The corrections. So we budgeted daily placements of 5 a day at a rate of $535 a day. So the prorated budget is almost $570,000. Right now we are averaging 13 a day. So we went from 5, we were trending around 5 a day, we are now at 13 a day. The daily rate, we budgeted at $535. The daily rate through July is running $722. This rate, just so you know, is set by the state. And obviously when someone goes into the corrections, it's through the court system. The budget for the state started July 1st. They increased the rate for corrections up to $1,154.
Yeah, $1,154 a day. They didn't start that rate on January 1st of 2022, which I would have thought they would have. We didn't know about this. There was no inkling they were going to do a rate increase that big in 2021. And during their budget discussions, they raised it to the rate of like psychiatric hospitalization. I mean, that's what you paid to go to like Winnebago. But Medicaid doesn't pay for any of this. So, I'll let you sort of sum up, and I'll feel free to jump in. Yeah.
So then I just want to point out. So now you see the average daily rate of $721, and that is 6 months at the old rate plus 1 month at July month at a bigger rate. So it's going to get higher as we have more months in that higher rate. Then what you see over here, the placements variance. So we are 8 over what we budgeted, that equates to $450,000 deficit actual. So for 2021 through July, the rate difference, $187, equates to $350,000, and that's actual through July. Then what we do down here is we project that out. So when we project that out, we have a deficit of $846,000. You add these two together, it's really all in the corrections.
Yeah, and what I'd like to share is, you know, when I was last before this committee at the when we did our budget presentation in October, we had a lot of kids in residential care out of state. Most of those kids have come home, not all of them. So we had at that time when we spoke, I think we had 11 kids in residential care. As of yesterday, we had 4. We have another one going in though, so we'll be at 4 or 5. We still have 2 kids in out of state, but we had at that time 6 out of state. So the cases and what's the other positive good social work going on is that the reason our regular foster care numbers, our treatment foster care numbers have gone down, and our residential care numbers have gone down is we're doing good treatment work, and we're getting kids to permanent safe homes. And that's good. Corrections is a whole different process, though. Corrections is about kids committing what we would call crimes, delinquent acts that are serious. And we had a rash of delinquent activity in this community, primarily in March and in the subsequent months. And the 2 juvenile court judges that were on the bench at that time, pretty much 50-50, treated certain crimes very seriously, and they sent kids to corrections. And as I spoke with you when we last met, was it in May? We talked about how do kids get ordered out of home care. So for kids that are in the youth justice system, you really have 3 people making recommendations to a judge. You have the division social worker, you have the public defender for the juvenile delinquent, and you have the district attorney's office. And they can all come into a hearing and they sometimes all agree, or sometimes they all have 3 different options. But ultimately there's only one person whose decision matters, and it's the 4th person I didn't mention, it's the judge. So what happened here is we have, this is the highest number of kids we've had in corrections for at least at one given time for easily 8 years.
and it may be 10 years. Yeah. And we have another program that we like better than corrections. It's our Alternatives to Corrections Through Education program that is much more cost effective. They're going to raise their rates as well, but not up to this crazy amount of money. They're going to raise their rates to $330 a day, which is far better than corrections. They work with kids much shorter. The average length of stay in the Alternatives to Corrections Through Education program is 4 to 5 months. But these kids that were committed these delinquent acts, the court chose not to use that program. They went right to corrections. And there were a few kids in that group that ACE, the Alternatives to Corrections Through Education program, ACE, would not have been appropriate. There were probably 3 or 4 that would not have worked in that program. So the other thing I want the county board to committee to know is that when we have kids in residential care, treatment foster care, group home care, we are active members of treatment teams. We work actively. We have influence in treatment planning and moving kids more quickly through programming. We have much less impact on kids that are in corrections. We connect with those youth, we try to motivate them, but really corrections view is it's up to the kid, it's up to the teenager. And the teenager either is gonna make it or break it, and is gonna move quickly through the program or slowly. And they changed their, just when they changed their rate for the program, they instituted a new program, treatment program, because they're not just about locking kids up, they're providing treatment. But I just want to be very transparent with everybody. Their program, at a minimum, if a kid is just does everything perfect, the quickest he or she can get out of corrections is 6 months. And they can't get out faster than that. They have set up a program that literally is a 6-month program. And if the kid stumbles and doesn't do as well, it could easily turn into a 7 or 8 month program. So a lot of these kids that went in March, we're motivating them, we're working, and we're hoping they will move out in by the end of this year, because March to December is 9 months. So we hope many move on and leave there. And then the other thing we have to hope for is that we don't have another rash of serious crimes like that. And it is an outlier. We have not sent this many kids to corrections in years. I mean, years and years and years. But again, that's the judge doing that. So I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Supervisor, you're on.
Ron, did they give you a reason why the cost went up so much? Is it due to COVID? Is it because of these new programs? Why? How did they justify this increase?
They did not come out officially and give a clear rationale. I can give you my professional judgment of what happened. They bumped the rate up from what we budgeted they raised it up to slightly just over 600 a day, and mostly that was COVID. They put some COVID protocols in. But really, what we believe it is if you pay attention to the news, they've added some treatment programming, they've tried to upgrade staff there, and there actually are less kids overall in corrections than there were 2 years ago. So you put that together, you have a facility in Irma, Wisconsin that has to be open 24/7. You need a minimum number of people to staff it, and if you have less kids, but you can't shut it down, then everyone's gotta pay more if you want to keep it operational. So that's what I think is going on. I think the state also is deferring that cost more to the counties.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Because they've doubled it. Basically, yeah. They've doubled their rate. Yeah.
And when was the last time we saw a rate increase?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question.
Last year. Every year.
They've been raising a little bit, but nothing dramatic
not this.
Okay.
No.
But so the way they write it in the state budget, like they write a little blurb, we're going to increase the rates this much, but we're going to offset it with this revenue. So
Yeah.
What it equated to for us was like a $1.2 million increase, just the rate alone. The revenue that we're getting to offset it is less than $200,000, like $178,000. Mm-hmm. So it's like nowhere near enough to cover any part of the rate. But they don't put it that way. They just put the offset as a one lump number for the whole state, but the rate is individual, so you can't compare apples to apples.
Thank you.
Yep.
Supervisor Frederick.
Did I hear you say something about us, the highest, something is highest in 8 years or something?
Yeah, we have more kids today in a juvenile correctional facility than we've had. We haven't had this many kids at the same time in that facility for easily 8 years.
Any observations as to your, in your part, as to why it's?
Yeah, you know, when you look at the overall crime numbers in this community and juvenile crime, they actually have gone down. And I know that you see this number, you go, well, that doesn't make sense. But we look at how many offenses and how much actual crime is occurring. But what happened here is the courts took some crimes. I'll tell you what they were. I'm not going to tell you kids' names. So we had a number of kids that stole cars, operating motor vehicle without owner's consent. Our courts generally have made that a very serious crime. They responded to that with this. We've had armed carjacking, where they attempted to steal a car with a gun. That they took that very seriously. We had three youth, all male, who had unsuccessfully completed what you would consider sex offender treatment in different facilities that we had in the state, and they were reoffended. And that was an automatic. And like when I mentioned to you, there are kids that could not have worked in the ACE, the ACE program. And that program does not work with kids with inappropriate sexualized behavior. They don't have any programming for that. So we tried those kids in a less restrictive setting for quite some time, and they weren't successful. And the court said, well, then they have to go here. So I don't think, it's not a failure of our youth justice programs, because those are still working well. Is for all of these kids, that for some of these kids, the kids I'm thinking of, you know, the 13, there's 8 or 9 which are just really distinct, pretty very serious delinquent acts. And it's not beyond reason for the court to respond this way. It really depends on the judge.
Anything else, Supervisor Frederick?
No.
Okay. Supervisor Kubicki.
Thank you. Mr. Rogers, you mentioned earlier about a minimum of 6 months' stay.
Yeah.
That's the minimum? Even though somebody might be doing well, or does anybody make any judgment call saying, well, this individual may be rehabilitated already and get them out of the system sooner than 6 months?
Yeah, we can do that. We have our intensive aftercare program that literally drives to Irma. Well, COVID, for a while there during COVID, we couldn't see the kids that were there in person, but they allow us to see those kids now. And we send somebody up there, and we use to motivate those kids, and we talk to the treating professionals, and we advocate, because we have great services here, mm-hmm. to move kids more quickly home. A year ago, I could have said very confidently, Supervisor Kubicki, that they listened to that, and they were amenable to that, and they would work with us more.
Right.
They set up this new program, and when you look at it on paper and how they've described it, and it just began like in July, so we're gonna, some of these people that went in March are in the middle of it. We're gonna get our first real taste of it now, and whether they're still that amenable. But when I just tracked it, when I looked at all the phases and what they said were the minimums, I came up with 26 weeks, which is 6 months. So I'm just being transparent with you.
Sure, I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying, is that when I looked at what they're proposing, and I've talked with our intensive aftercare folks, that's what they're thinking too, it's about 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, in some cases, I think that could be deviated somehow mm-hmm. or another. And, I just think if you're tracking, it's coming out 6 months, 6 months, 6 months, 6 months.
Yeah. I think we'll...
It's not a good thing.
No, I think we had a lot of kids, so this is September. So those kids that went in the beginning of March, 6 months would be like now. Mm. And I don't see, none of those kids are ready, or they have not said they're ready for release by the end of this month. So we'll have a better sense of that by mid-October.
Well, thank you for that insight. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome, sir. Any other supervisor?
Just briefly, I believe we had the clerk of courts here saying that she wanted to have a enforcement for payment through the Department of Revenue. Has there been any success with recovering any of these costs?
You mean for the parents of the kids?
Parent guardian, yes.
Yeah, so we every kid that's in out-of-home care, we enter a child support order, and they're assessed a portion of the cost of care. And that's through our child support office.
Is that number offset from these figures, or is that not being whatever
that, is that number is not on these figures. We consider that revenue for DCFS, so it's listed as a source of revenue. And what do we budget for that? I believe we're budgeted, when we did our budget for next year, we're anticipating to bring in slightly over $300,000 a year in cost of care for all the kids that are in out-of-home care.
And is it fair to say that this does not take into account any CHIPS children or children in need of protection or
services? The $300,000?
Oh, no, these figures. There's nothing attributable to CHIPS.
Oh, sure there is.
Okay, that would be where on here?
Okay, so we treat all kids in out-of-home care. They're all court-ordered, so we just do our budget by the... This is by placement category. A safe way to think of it, Supervisor Celebrate, is the following. Every kid in regular foster care is a CHIPS kid. Every kid in treatment foster care, except for one or two, is a CHIPS kid. There might be two that are youth justice kids. Group home kids tend to be more youth justice. Group and residential care kids are split about 50-50. And so what I mean by that is the kids that are victims of child abuse and neglect, they tend to be younger. We can find regular foster homes for them. Some of those kids have special treatment needs. We find treatment foster homes for them. And some of those kids have significant treatment needs, two or three a year, four. They will go into residential care centers. Yeah. And then we work to get them out of all those. And the reason, you know, regular foster care and treatment foster care has dropped the numbers is, you know, if you heard from District Attorney Mike Gravely and our Project Permanency Project, and so we have really fine-tuned and really have improved our process of getting kids to permanent safe homes if the parents don't make progress. And so that's cases that have gone through a termination of parental rights and those kids are freed up for adoption. So that's part of the progress here on those two categories. But the money is what's driving this budget deficit, which was different than when I was in front of you before. If you really look at all these categories, it is right now where we are in corrections.
Thank you, Chairman.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Okay, so you mentioned the alternative program that we have going. How long has that been up and running?
We've been using that program, gosh, 6-7 years.
So the judges have the ability to move kids into that or to corrections. Am I correct on that? Or
yeah, they have the ability when they make that decision that a kid needs to be in a locked facility, because alternatives corrections for education is locked. It's a treatment program in the Racine County Detention Center. So they use a wing of that, so to speak.
Okay.
And it's not just detention. Detention is really just three meals a day and some minor programming and structure and supervision. This is an actual treatment program that provides therapy, credit recovery, individual education plans. Kids do really well in that as far as getting caught back up. Most kids that have significant delinquent problems are credit deficient. The ACE, we call it the ACE program, Alternatives to Corrections for Education, does a nice job in recovery of that. And they do therapy, and they do groups. And by groups, I mean they do work with these teenagers to do errors in thinking and, you know, I wouldn't say it's a drug treatment program, but it's a really good educational program regarding drug use and how it can wreck your life, things like that. So yeah, they have all of that. And we have had over the years, over this year, you know, a few months ago, we had, you know, 5, 6, 7 kids in there. And right now our numbers are really low. So ideally, we would prefer the courts to use that program more than corrections.
Yeah, but that's out of your control.
Right. Yeah. But we've, our newest judge, who, he has no part in any of these numbers. He's just gotten on the bench. He has toured the ACE program. He thought very highly of it, and I met with him recently, and we just reinforced that. So hopefully that's good.
That's good. So let's talk numbers and finance. I mean, you guys do a great job, and I really mean that. You guys do an excellent job with what you're working with. And I want to talk a little bit about the money. So right now you're showing me 13 on there as a number, but really it's 4, going to be 5, correct?
4, which number?
On the corrections number.
13 is what we're running year to date through July. We budgeted at 5, so we are 8 over, so a day.
Right. But there's 13 that were year to date, but now you have 4 or 5, so we're getting back into what we had budgeted.
No, I'm sorry if I made you, I didn't mean to cut you off. There are 13 kids in corrections today.
Okay, that's why I'm asking these questions.
Yeah, no, I wasn't clear, yeah. And they're boys and girls.
Both. Okay, yeah. So that leads me to my next question, which is, that's kind of, we're heading with on a toboggan, down the snow slope, and we're picking up speed. So what does that look like down the road? I mean, do you see any relief to that? And obviously you have no control over it, but what are you looking at for projections? And I mean, right now we're at a $500,000 hole.
I'll let Tammy start. Yeah.
So the line above it, which Ron has talked about, the ACE program, so right now, yes, we're running 8 over in corrections. We're running 5 under in the ACE. So we're running 3 over what we normally would run, just kids alone in the program. But you can see that they're more erring towards corrections versus the ACE program. So we do have some savings in the ACE that offset it. However, this is going to get larger because of the rate. So like I said, the rate is just started in July of the 1154. And that is going to make this variance larger. The next few pages, you'll actually see the rates, because even besides corrections, all the other ones above there, all of our rates have increased. The only one that decreased was foster care, which is the smallest daily amount anyways. So what we did in the next slides was we put the rates in there and we showed how much they've increased over 5 years. Obviously the largest one is the corrections rate, I think what ended up being like, can you go down like the last graph?
195%,
yeah. So this is what we're dealing with. These rates are set by the state, most of them. They'll say under the bullet point how they're set, but we don't have a choice in it.
Right, and I'm not...
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm just looking at... But we have to swallow the numbers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand that it's none of your doing and it's out of your control, but that's why I had you guys come and talk to us.
Absolutely.
About this, because we need to be transparent and see where we're at different times during the year. So you're telling me that this is only going to get worse. Mm-hmm. Are there other revenues that I'm not seeing on any of these, that other than the 189,000 you said? Are we going to get any relief for this, or am I looking at $1.5 million hole at the end of the year?
We get youth aids. We do get some money, to offset it, but it's nowhere near. They don't increase our revenue to cover the increase in daily rates. So corrections alone was a $1.2 million hit by just from the rate change, and we got $178,000. That's what we're estimating to see for revenue. So the revenue never equates to what the rate increase is.
So I think for this year, 2021, we're going to run in the Division of Children and Family Services a deficit, and it probably be over $1 million in court-ordered out-of-home care. But the optimistic part of me is that a lot of these kids in corrections went in March. So if we can get our courts to look again at our ACE program, and when we have other kids with significant behavior problems that need a locked setting, then these kids, these 13 kids, are not going to be in there in January because they went in and, you know, not four went in since March. So nine went in March. But again, once the court made that decision, once the court says you're in juvenile corrections, they don't go back and change that decision.
Right.
And they expect the kid to complete that program, period. And then corrections determines when they've completed the program.
So we're looking at approximately $1 million hole. Approximately. Just from this.
Yes. We have other divisions doing well. We will have a surplus this year. But yes, for DCFS, yes, we are looking at a deficit.
So other divisions are going to make that up, mm-hmm. is what you're saying.
She didn't say that.
Well, that's I'm being the optimistic Ron Rogers here.
So, please be the optimistic.
Yeah, I, rather than the, oh my gosh, there's a huge hole. Jeff. Yeah, okay. Patty, you had something to say.
Tammy, on page one of your presentation, you have total yearly projected variance at 846,125. Is that the deficit you are expecting based on the numbers you have now?
This is taking our actuals and straight lining.
Okay.
I expect it to be higher because of that rate. Okay. That rate that's only got 1 month on it, the 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And these others, you would be, since you're finance over the whole thing, not just Ron.
Right.
If there's other things where you're not going to be able to make that up, you need to come to us. Okay? Because I don't want to go into budget and ending up the year with $1 million hole that all of a sudden we can't fill, and then we're scrambling.
No, we definitely are looking at quite a big surplus right now is what we're projecting, which I know is later on in your guys' reports that they report to you,
okay. Is that why Barna's waving his arm?
Yes.
Probably.
Okay. Good news.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So these placements may be way up, but in aging and disability, they're quite a bit down. And might be COVID related. We're not really sure. We're going to have to see how it all works out. But luckily, aging has a surplus, and it's really helping us.
Okay. I mean, that's really what I want to know. I love getting into the nitty-gritty right. and hearing how we're helping kids and what we're doing. But ultimately, we are the finance committee, right. and I don't want to be surprised by $1 million hits at the end of the year or budget time, so that we don't think we can cover.
Yeah.
Okay, so I understand where you're coming from, and I understand it's not out of your control, but I just want to know
right.
that we're going to be okay.
This is what I like to say. There's, you know, one incident happened, but put three kids in corrections. Just from one situation, three of them together. I mean, had that angel on his shoulder said, no, don't do it, he didn't do it, we could be looking at very different numbers. I mean, that changes numbers big time.
That is classic.
Well, I'm just saying,
I think we better start looking for angels.
We can make a video of that. I like that, the angel on the shoulder. That's very good. But I agree with you. And yeah. It goes back to when I started on the county board in 2008, 2009, and we had three placements that were like three quarters yes. of $1 million.
Yes.
And I almost had a heart palpitation right there yes. on the board, right here. I was probably sitting where Monica is, and I almost probably fell out of my chair. But, I mean, this is just... You know, that's why I really want to get into it and not be surprised. So that's why I'm asking you here to do this and appreciate it.
Chairman Gitz, I appreciate all your questions. And no, I'm glad we're here tonight so you're not surprised in a month when we do our budget. You know, and I'm not saying this to, not just because I'm an optimist, but what I would like you just to point out is we budgeted to have 301 kids in care, CHIPS kids and Youth Justice kids in care, and we're averaging now, because of a lot of good work happening, at 240. So it's 61 kids less, and that's the good social work that's happening in this county. That's the services that you support through your budget that are working. That's 60 less kids on average that are living in out-of-home care. That's good. But we've got a really unique problem related to, you know, everything, right? I mean, these are kids that got into really serious trouble during COVID. March, there weren't kids really in school in March. A lot of free time on your hand. Teenagers that have behavior troubles, you don't want to give them a lot of free time. So that's not our excuses. That's just sort of the mix that happened here. But I'm optimistic that a lot of these kids will get out of there by the end of this year. But it won't be a clean slate. There'll still be kids, you know, in there in January.
Is Irma the only facility that does this?
Yeah, they did a complete reorganization. Gosh, 8-9 years ago. They used to have two. They had one out in Wales, Wisconsin. That's in Waukesha County. It was called Ethan Allen School for Boys. And then they had in Racine, they had the girls' facility in Racine County. And because the numbers of total youth in corrections dropped, they closed the Racine Youth Program for girls. They shut down the Ethan Allen School for Boys. And they opted to keep the Lincoln Hills Program for Boys open in Irma, Wisconsin, 4 hours from here. And then they created a new girls program up there they call Copper Lake School for Girls. So they moved everything to Irma. So if you want another opinion about that, bad idea, because most of the kids that go to corrections are from this part of the state, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha. They're not from northern Wisconsin.
I thought they were gonna close Lincoln Hills.
Yeah. That was up in under the Governor Walker's administration. And they still say on paper they're planning to, but they haven't gotten very far on that.
Evidently not, since it's the only place we're sending people to.
Racine, there's still a plan afoot to create regional correctional facilities closer to us in the state. Racine County, I believe, is still in on that and was planning to build that, but I may be misspeaking. Maybe that's changed again because all that work on that, what the state did is they didn't put enough money out there for people to build it. Yeah.
The last I heard, to build the facility, and I thought it was still their plan to do so, but
I think so too.
Again, if things have slowed down for some reason, I haven't had any more recent updates.
But there's no date for that to come online that I'm aware of.
All right, that concludes my questions. Any other questions from the board? Okay, well, I thank you for coming in and talking with us and updating us on where we're at, and please keep us informed if there's any problems, like somebody is not going to be able to fill that hole or something like that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all your questions. You're all good.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to audit of the bills. I believe we took care of that. Okay, reports from administration. What do we have?
General fund, year-end forecast.
Okay.
So everyone should have a report. A report that you're all very familiar with.
Oh, that's you, right?
The bottom couple of boxes there show that there was slight improvement from last month's meeting's report.
That's yours.
Okay.
Still showing that we're just under 30% of overall general fund expense. So speaking to things that have changed materially from one month to the next, so the first line under the increases to the general fund projections, human services overall, they're showing an increase from a $2 million surplus to $2.4 million. So when Tammy was speaking that how poorly DCFS is going overall, including all the divisions, not including Brookside, they're looking at right now a $2.4 million surplus. Sales tax, pretty much held firm.
How can that be? How can that be?
I believe that she said that behavioral health has less expenses. They're trending positively. Mm-hmm. She didn't know exactly why, but yes, she seemed to say that that was one of the larger.
Yeah, I heard areas. The division, and I think it's Rebecca's division that's doing so well. But how can that be? Did we budget off there, or is
sometimes it's things that have a cause and effect. Sometimes most years DCFS is one of the ones that actually provides a surplus.
Yeah.
And this year it's a deficit. But then there's other divisions that typically run in the deficit, and then because COVID's changed the landscape a lot on a lot of different things. And human services is one of those areas as well.
Someday on that. Thank you.
That's a good question. And she could speak to that probably during budget time. How has COVID affected the normalcy of variables within their division?
When she presents her budget, she also presents their third quarter financial, or second quarter financial. No, I think it's third. And she breaks that down by division. Who is performing well, where the deficits and where the surpluses are. So you can ask those questions at that time. You'll be able to see those numbers.
Thank you.
Sure. A couple other things that improved from last month: circuit court, county clerk, and register of deeds revenue has trended up almost $200,000. Workers' comp insurance improved a little, $50,000. On the items that caused decrease to the general fund, when you net the two sheriff's department expense and revenue line items, that deficit went up a couple $100,000 from last month projection. Health insurance, about $100,000 increase. On the flip side, the treasurer tax delinquency interest on taxes revenues, that improved a little over $100,000. Probably the most significant one on the side of the ledger would have to be with the tax delinquency reserve. That flipped from a 281 positive to 272. We got through July figures there, and we did have an uptick in tax delinquencies, which then, like you see there, it improved on the revenue side. So, we also improved a little bit on the miscellaneous overall and on liability insurance.
You kind of blew past the sheriff operating expenditures deficit. Yeah, I didn't hear that. That's like half a million.
Those two together, last month we were projecting $950,000 deficit, and now it's about $1,175,000, so went up about $200,000.
Taking the first line and the fourth line and netting them together so that it's a combined total, that's what it's
right.
Yeah, but why? What's happened with the operating expenditures that is causing that big 150 to the good to half a million in the negative?
So for the sheriff's department, the operating expenditures, they have an uptick in medical and dental cost, and with the inmates, expenditure. In addition, the vacancy has leveled off, so that's why they're in a negative there. On the flip side, their revenue projection got better by a few $100,000. At this point of the year, some of these things are fuzzier as the year goes on when they start dialing a little closer. But right now, it's trending at a deficit for Sheriff's Department.
Hey, if I can interrupt on that, does any of this have to do with problems that you were having with overtime and filling vacancies without even talking about changes in wage rates or anything yet? Are you finding that you're having greater amounts of overtime that are being called on as well?
No, I don't believe that it's attributable to that this point. No. We may see, and when we go through our budget process in the next month, we'll be talking about some things that we're putting in the budget to offset, hopefully, these sorts of negative that we're anticipating possibly having for next year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So Supervisor Kubicki.
Are we going to start having some more of those tax deeded property sales soon, or what are we doing with that?
Yeah, my understanding that with the moratorium, that was holding some of that back.
And that's going to be ending, I think, pretty soon.
Right. And so then we'll start.
So the plan is to, because we've not moved on those for a couple years, and we just issued the tax certificates on 2018.
Yeah.
They were issued on the 1st of September, so they're going to move forward with 16, 17, and 18. We are using the in-run process, so that will have to go through the court
system.
And once that has worked through the courts, then it would come here for actual tax deed sale and assigning of dollars.
So then those individuals will plead their case to the judge, not correct. To this committee here, correct? Thank you for that.
And then the more properties that we sell and have a profit on,
we'll offset that number.
That'll offset that negative, correct.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
But overall, we're better than we were last month, still trending well. Obviously, we have some things that are worked to our favor and things that offset that every year. It's something different. So.
Vacancy deficit, usually you're having a deficit as to, usually you have a surplus in vacancy.
Yeah.
It's behind what you have projected.
It's behind what we've projected. The last couple of years, it's been kind of in the same neighborhood, a couple hundred thousand dollars deficit. And again, that's my guess is due to COVID, there's not a lot of movement for employees. I mean, you got a job and you're going to stay with it.
John, you had a question?
Yeah, sorry, I can't hear super well down here. Sure. Did you say there was a moratorium or something slowing down that process? Or is it just the courts or what is it?
Yeah,
there's a moratorium on foreclosures put in place by the federal government that expires. It was supposed to expire at the end of July and then was extended till the end of September. So because when we take a property on tax deed, it's similar to a foreclosure and in some cases involves an eviction of the person who is currently living there. We've not moved forward on them at all. Our corporation counsel has advised that it could be potentially a violation of that moratorium, so we have not moved forward on any of them at this point. Now that the moratorium will be lifted, we will begin the process of moving forward with the tax deed process, but that's like a 9-month thing. There's a period of time where it's advertised. During this period of time, owners have been approached to go on payment plans to pay their back taxes so that they don't end up in a situation where they are still delinquent at the time that we would move forward with a tax deed.
So the concept of a moratorium is just like a freeze on eviction?
Correct.
Barna, do you have anything to finish with?
No, I do not.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? When is the budget being presented?
October 5th.
Yeah.
So do we have a county board meeting next week? No.
That's not up to them.
I don't know. Do I just ask? I don't know.
I believe we will.
Well, you have 5 resolutions you passed this evening that I would imagine will go to the board meeting.
I talked to the chairman today. He indicated we will have a board meeting. Okay. Next Tuesday.
That would have been our regular day anyway.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get set, go ahead, John.
I also wanted to ask, what happened to made in the surpluses, the Circuit Court County Clerk Register? What happened that made that jump from 0 to 118,000 in surplus?
There's a couple things there. And Register of Deeds, we had a number of high dollar recordings. Real estate sales, and in county clerk we've had an uptick. We've in passport.
Did they start passports?
Yeah, they started passports again, and for a long time we weren't getting any revenue, and now that's starting to pick up again.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, John?
No.
Okay. I just want to let the committee know we're going to do it a little different at budget time. When everybody comes before us, we're going to take a vote on that piece of the budget, and that's going to be our vote. Okay, in the past the chairman has allowed us to change our votes on the last evening, and I'm not comfortable with that because staff is not there then. So we're going to take our vote, and that's going to be our vote on that piece for their budget. Okay, is that, does everybody understand what I'm saying? Is that okay? Is that a, any comment on that? Because I think it's not transparent when then you change something and the staff's not here to talk about it. So we're not going to do that anymore. So just so everybody's aware of how that's going to go. Any other comments from the board?
Oh, it's nice to know that, that I had to find out tonight that we got a board meeting next week. We don't get informed of it. We should have known it already. It should have been set ahead of time. So I'm kind of getting upset. You know, we changed this last meeting from Tuesday to Wednesday. That's why a lot of people couldn't make it. People have schedules, and every once in a while, we got to be told when the hell we're going to meet. Hey, excuse my French, but...
Well, I kind of disagree with you. Supervisor U.S.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do we know, just for the youth and governance, when we're going to be having the budget meeting they can plan accordingly on their nights?
Yeah, the budget hearing will be the week of October 25th. So that's going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
What time are we going to start?
The meetings are usually at 6.
Yeah, and then they have food at 5.
Food at 5.
October
25th.
Well,
it's going to be a
4-day
thing.
We start at
6. I'm hungry.
So what are we talking about?
25th, 26th, 27th, 28th.
Well, that's nice to know ahead of time, too.
And I would like the budget resolution the weekend, the Friday before that starts.
Yes, that's in the... Okay. It's in the budget.
Okay. It's in the resolution.
It's actually in the budget resolution.
Good, so yeah. Good.
I'm very well aware of that.
Okay, good.
And can you just very quickly just let the youth and governance know what goes on that week with these meetings, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Sure. When the county executive sends out his budget, it's sent to committees. So the committees then review it, and they make adjustments and pass their piece of the budget within their own committee. Then all the committees and departments come before this board and they present their budget to us that has come out of their committee. And then we will decide whether or not, what we want to do with that. So that's the process. So what you're going to see for those nights is an agenda of all the different departments or divisions or whoever's going to come before us and with their budgets, and it's going to be broken down by time. So that's how that's going to work. And it's really where county board supervisors earn their money, is budget time. I mean, this is a big thing. And I and this committee, which I have to commend, we've done a great job in the past, take that very seriously. So,
and we will meet here in this room.
So if you want to come, you're welcome to come for food at 5. I'm going to obviously have to be adjusting what I'm eating in that place now, which is very disappointing, by the way. We're going to have rabbit food and other kinds of stuff in there, which is not good.
No more pizza.
Excuse me.
I can't eat pizza and all that beautiful stuff that I love. I have to eat salads and stuff now. So
there's always salads over there.
I'm not going to make you guys suffer with what I have to eat.
Simple solution, simple problem. Just come to me. Remember that.
Do you guys have any, youth and governance, have any questions about that, the process, how that works? Or?
So we're not, it's not mandatory that we attend, but it's...
You don't have to go to each committee's budget hearing before they get to us, but you should be at our budget hearings when we hear all of them. I mean, if you want to, it's very educational. You get to see, because supposedly committee is where they hammer everything out. And then they come to us. Some things should be worked out before they get to us, but you know, you don't. That's not mandatory. You don't have to go to those budget meetings. What I probably would expect if I was your mentor, if I was giving you direction, would be at our budget meetings.
So the 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th.
And do we still have the advisory vote in those meetings as well, or are we just here to set and listen?
No, no. You have an advisory
board. You'll be sitting at the table.
I want to hear what you say.
No, it's fine either way. I just want to know.
And you have the ability to comment and question. And, you know, I mean.
Perfect. Thank you.
Well, if you want to eat rabbit food, you can. If you want pizza, you can, too. So
that's a story options. For another time, Supervisor. It's very depressing.
We got to work on that.
Could I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Supervisor Kubicki moves.
Second.
And seconded by Supervisor Celebrity to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed to adjourning and want to stay? Okay, that passes. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
He called me yesterday.